I want to talk about cycles today. When cycles, I mean what is repeated. And we talk about blessings and cursings, and really, blessings and cursings are words. When Jesus cursed the fig tree, he didn't say, "I curse you." He said, "Nothing will ever grow from you again." It was words. Why was that a curse? Because it was a limit on what it was called to do. Now, notice he said it to a plant, not a person, so don't take that too far. Don't go worry. When blessings or cursings in the Bible were simply words. When I say simply words, they were containing. I want you to picture a Ferris wheel. A Ferris wheel with all the different carts. Things enter and exit, but there's one person who stands getting the tickets. You're the one who collects the tickets on the Ferris wheel of your heart. What you can enter, what you can exit. A couple weeks ago, I talked about in my past some hurts and pains, and there was generationally things what we want to do, because on my dad's side, I learned hard work. I want to keep that. You can stay on the Ferris wheel. My dad could figure things out. He was extremely smart. He worked for Coors Brewing Company. They had to add in the paper, you need a PhD. My dad didn't really go to school. He said, "There's the machine I designed and built," and they said, "You're hired." People with PhDs are under him. I have that. I can figure things out. I'm not bragging. Some of you have benefited from that. They call the experts. I figure things out. I want to keep that. On my mom's side, she was very generous. Even when she didn't have a lot of money, she gave. I have that. She was very tender and kind. I have that. But the other things must go. So you have to understand that it only takes one point. God created man and woman for fellowship, intimacy, closeness. He didn't create you to do signs, wonders, and miracles, even though you will. He created you for fellowship. In the cool of the day, he walked with Adam. Then when Jesus died on the cross, the Holy Spirit, when you receive Jesus, when you receive him as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit enters you. It's about closeness. In heaven, we're not going to be doing things. We're just going to be knowing him. In fact, the Bible says you will know him as you are known. It was always to be known. Why? Because God is love. He's not just a lover. He not just has love. He is love. And he has a plan for your life. I was 13 years old. I didn't know Jesus. I wasn't raised in a Christian home. In the eighth grade, Paul asked me one question. Do you want to be born again? Because today we're going to talk about the one. You know the dot to dots? And like when you're a little kid, dot, 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 dot. And we want to see the whole picture. And God just says, no, I just want you to do the one thing. I just want to break into your life. I just want the one thing. As Satan entered in with the question, because his goal was to separate Eve. His goal was not to get the answer, did God really say? But he knew it would start something. It would start a conversation. And some of us curse ourselves because the words we speak over ourselves have limited us. Or we hold, and it's like our father said, our mother said, or this said, and we receive that curse. We receive that curse. You'll never be, and you'll never grow, or you'll never have money, or you're just like your father, or you're just like your mother in this way, and we receive that curse. It's not like someone says, "I curse you." They were words that shaped us and formed us. The blessings in the Bible were words. When Abraham blessed his children, or Jacob blessed his children, they used words. They didn't just say, "I bless you." That's what we say, but they get very specific. See, God wants to get specific with your life. He just doesn't want to bless you. He wants to get specific. Some of you are called to go to specific nations. You may get a word. You're called to the nations of the word. Those nations actually have names, even though that wasn't in the word. Colombia is a nation. It has a name. Mexico is a nation. It's specific. God is very specific, and we're not all called to the same thing. There's general promises of God for everybody. And then there's specific promises only for you. Before you were born, God had a plan for your life. So there I am, eighth grade, didn't know God. Family didn't know God. No one told me about God. Paul said, "Do you want to be born again?" One question, yes. And I became saved. I received Jesus. He washed away my sins. I believe he's the Son of God. I believe he rose from the dead. It's simple. The gospel is not complicated. It's simple. Jesus really came on the earth. He really died for your sins. He really has a plan for your life. Like we say it and say, God has a plan for your life. Like it's some general thing. It's specific things. There's only one person that can leave it. So John, where's the one? Where's the breaking point? They're sitting in your seat today. It's not for another time. It's not for another service. You're the one where it can break in. You're the one where he's called. He knows your name. He knows your plans. Before you were born, he had a plan for your life. Mom may say you're an accident. Dad may, but God knew you were going to be here. He had a plan for your life. It was a specific plan. It wasn't a general plan, but you must receive it. You must receive his words. Did God really say? It was one sentence. It started this whole sin thing. Whether you're in a good thing or a bad place, you can trace it back to one wrong decision, one left turn, one this, one that. One, just one. What can one do? One can do a lot. So I want to read you one scripture. Romans 5, if for by the one man's offense, how many? Death reigned through the one, lowercase, everything's lowercase, much more than those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of God righteousness will reign in the life through the one, capital. There's a reason why it's capital. And for those of you that are new, I was 13 years old. You don't need to be an expert, but you can get in the Word. John, what does that mean? Read the Bible. You may hear that term. It just means read the Bible. I was 13 years old. I had a Mormon friend. He invited me to the Mormon church before the internet, long before the internet. I went to my Bible, 13 years old. I didn't have a church. I didn't have a man tell me. I didn't have a person disciple me. I, 13, went to the Word. I started reading it. Oh, God is a spirit. A spirit has not flesh and blood. The Mormons say God has flesh. So I went back the next day. I says, Kevin, he goes, you're going to come to church? I go, Kevin, you're in a cult. 13 years old, because why? I got in the Word. I read the Bible. I believed what he said over he said. Otherwise, I could be a Mormon today because one person gave me one invitation. Kevin had a great family. His dad was rich. His dad was nice. I love that. There's a lot of money in the Mormon church. It's a very white religion. It is. They changed their philosophy. 13 years old, when I got in the Word, God, I believe what you say. I came to him and says, Kevin, you're in a cult. All the eighth graders are laughing. Kevin's in a cult. They didn't even know what that meant. They start laughing at Kevin's in a cult. I said, Kevin, the Bible says God is spirit. You say he's flesh. The Bible says God was always the same yesterday and today, always was. You say as man is, God once was. As God is, man will become. It's the same lie. Kevin, you're in a cult, 13 years old. John, what's your point? It doesn't matter how old you are. If you get in the Bible, God will speak to you. It won't be through a sermon. Everything God wants to say to you is not in a sermon. It's not in a conference. I don't care who it is. You can name all the names. There's a name higher than Kool-Aid. It's Jesus. There's a name higher than Heidi Baker. It's Jesus. And he wants to speak to you individually. He went to Adam. He wants to come to you. He wants to come to you. He knows your name. He knows your life. He knows your family. And we're going to break cycles today. We're going to break those things that are repeated. Mom did. Dad did. You're the gatekeeper. And some of us, we just let anything enter, exit, exit. Today, we're going to say, no, no, no. You exit. You enter. Hard work, you stay on the wheel. Compassion, you stay on the wheel. Spirit of anger, no, no, no. Because it doesn't matter what generational curse you have or generational blessing, it started with one person. Somebody said, I want to drink. Somebody said, I'm going to beat my kids. Somebody said, I'm going to molest. Let's just get real. And then somebody else said, I'm going to give my life to Jesus. And it changed everything. Cycles. What can be repeated? Blessing. The words we speak that we spoke, they shape, they mold like a potter on the wheel. You don't really feel his hands. You hear his voice and you feel his words. I have a plan for your life. It's a good plan, not to destroy you, to give you a future and a hope. Everything over your life is not in the Word. But when you read the Word, you get to know him. See, I can know things about someone. I know things about Holyfield. I met him one time. But I don't know him. It takes time to know someone. And on Sunday mornings, it's not enough time for you to know him. And if you think it is, you will miss everything he has for you. Not just the church for you. So I'm going to read a story about one. Because it's about one thing, right? One. The one, and it's sitting in your seat, lowercase one. Because so many things, and I love how stories begin. It's usually just like Evander Holyfield. I love Evander Holyfield. He was saying, I was a young man walking into the gym one day, walking by a trainer, and the trainer just said, there goes the future champion of the world. Evander says, changed my life. That man blessed Evander. That's a blessing. He didn't go, I bless you. Those words, there goes the future champion of the world. The guy that said it never got in the ring, never fought. We don't know who, I don't even remember his name. Vander does, because it shaped him. See, and this is not about being well-known. This is about making a difference and having influence in the heavenlies. Because there's a lot of well-known people, and there will be Christians that are well-known, and some of you are being well-known. So this is not about being famous. This is about making his name famous. Before I get into the story of Gideon, I want to talk to you about a man. Some of you know, some of you don't. We'll get into that. But one day he asked his dad, Dad, I've been studying the family tree. I've been studying the family tree, and you are a man of faith. Grandpa's a man of faith. But going back, they were all godless, meaning they didn't know him. They didn't know God. Dad, how did God break into our family tree? And this is what his dad told him. He said, my dad, your grandpa, suffered excruciating pains and screamed day and night for years. But then a miracle happened. An American missionary of the Assembly of God lost in 1922. He took one wrong turn, one man, one trip, his way in the enormous forest where my people lived. His name, Luis Graff. These missionaries were full of the Holy Spirit. Wherever they went, they prayed for the sick and saw mighty miracles. When Luis Graff got lost in the forest and came to our village, the first question, one man, one trip, one wrong turn, one. How many? One. Is there anybody sick here? Is there one person who's sick here? Oh, yes. It was my very own grandfather. So Luis Graff entered the household like a blazing lantern. These are the man's words. Blazing lantern in a dismal cavern. Cobwebs of religious doubt and stagnation were swept aside as he moved toward the bed where August lay, writhing in agony. He proclaimed liberty to the downtrodden, healing to the sick, and salvation to the poor, needy sinner. He announced that the Holy Spirit had been sent for a demonstration of power that God can make all things new. He took the sick man by the hand and commanded that he rise and be made whole in the name of Jesus. August felt a jolt of heaven's power through his body. He leapt from his sickbed and stood trembling like a criminal around whom the walls of prison had just fallen. He looked at his arms and legs as if iron chains had been struck from them. He felt his once swollen and inflamed joints, and they were renewed to a supple and youthful state. His wife Marie, who had been at his bedside for years, began to weep. He began to walk, then to run, then to leap, then to shout. He grabbed his wife and embraced her with tears running freely down his face. A moment ago, he had been able to endure the slightest touch on his skin. Now he was a man set free and praying. He was free indeed. The man telling the story, he says, I, Reinhard Bunke, was born 18 years later. It was the grandfather of Reinhard Bunke. My father, Hermann Bunke, had become a pastor. The fire of the Holy Spirit had transferred to him and later to me, called me to be an evangelist in Africa. I founded the ministry of Christ for All Nations and saw almost 80 million souls receive Jesus as their Savior. This was in 2018. By the same holy flame, jump into your heart and you going for God. What's the one thing God can start in your life? This is not a story about Reinhard Bunke. Reinhard Bunke was a missionary evangelist. He went to Africa. He stood on one street corner with one accordion with no converts, and then there was the one. He's spoken over to 1 million people, not just on Facebook, live, in person, that walk for miles. But this is more about Luis Graff. But if Luis Graff was going to tell a story, this is Reinhard. And Reinhard's autobiography tells, I cannot tell this story without telling you a story about one man, one trip, one voice, one healing. He broke in. See, God wants to break in. His question was, God, Dad, how did God break into our family tree? See, God wants to break in just as the devil has broken in. He wants to break into your life and bless you, give you words that shape and change, that changes the cycle of your life, how you think, how you live, how he wants to destroy those things. But if you look at Luis Graff, what was his one thing? Maybe it was a Sunday school teacher. See, one thing leads to another. This is not about one thing in isolation. It was about, did God really say? Led to the one sentence, led to the one conversation, led to one sin, led to all that. See, it's God. And when God comes in, he said, we're going to look at Gideon. Gideon was just one man. He was scared. And if you know the backdrop of Gideon in the Bible, it was during everything Israel planted, the enemies came. The Midianites. I'm not going to get into all their names. They're just thieves. I mean, really, they're thieves. So they came and they stole everything and they killed their cattle. So Israel was scared. So they hid in caves and they hid in the mountains and they lived like prisoners. And some of us do that. We're afraid to do this, or afraid to step out, or afraid to say this, or afraid to even know God has a plan for my life. And we live as prisoners, and they were isolated. There was a cursing over that. And Gideon was threshing, you know, the wheat in the wine press where they throw the wheat up. He's scared. He's not doing it in the open. In the wine press, you're supposed to do it in the open when there's a breeze and stuff. He's doing it in the wine press where he's scared. And the angel of the Lord appears to him and says, mighty man of valor. Now, when the Bible says the angel of the Lord, it's talking about Jesus. It's not just an angel. It's capitalized for a reason. The angel of the Lord wrestled with Jacob. Jesus did not start existing when he was in the manger. He's always existed. In fact, the Bible says all things were created by him, for him, through him. Nothing that was created without him. He created the plan for your life with the yes of the Father and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So he comes to him and says, mighty man of valor. And he says, if I'm a mighty man of valor, why this is all happening to him? So God came. What did God do? He blessed him. He didn't just say, I bless you. He gave him words, mighty man of valor. He was calling him to what he has created him to be. See, he wasn't living that way, but said, this is what I've called you to be, Gideon, a mighty man of valor. I don't know your background. I don't know what you've been through. I don't know what words are cycling over your life. I don't know what shaped you, but God wants to bless you, and he wants to come with words to give you purpose and a destiny. And he wants to use one thing. I mean, some years ago, I felt like God was stirring me up to go to Juarez, Mexico. John, I want you to go to Juarez. I want you to go to speak to the youth. So I went down there. I just knew one church. How many? Starts with one. See, until there's a second healing, there needs to be a first. Until I got saved, then my brother got saved, then my mom got saved, then my guy. But God needed a one. He needed a breaking point. He needed an eighth year, you know, in the eighth grade, 13-year-old to say, yes, Jesus. See, he doesn't need a lot, but he just needs the one thing, that dot to dot, just that one little dot. And we're trying to figure out the picture. How do I get here? How do I get there? And God just says, do this next one thing. Plant yourself in this one church. Do this. Forgive this one person. And we dot to dot to dot. And then all of a sudden, you see the picture. So many times, it is just one thing. People commit adultery and then they go back. It started with one lunch, one this, one that. Didn't happen overnight. It's getting real up in here. So this is not about bad things or cursings, because really we're talking about, you know, don't give the devil a foothold. Well, give God a foothold. Don't give the devil a foothold. Give God a foothold. Let him just do the one thing. Jesus was just born in one manger. It was just one man. It was just one word. It was just one sermon. It was just one song. It was just one. It was one missionary evangelist, Louis Graff. He was lost on one trip. He didn't know that was going to be the grandfather of Reinhard Bonnke. He didn't know, but every time Reinhard Bonnke stands on the stage, guess who was with him? Louis Graff. He's there. Every time I go to Juarez, who's standing there? Lena Jones, Pastor Lena and Easy Jones. Who's standing there? God wants to give you influence. So this is not about, oh, you're going to be Reinhard Bonnke, but you can be a Louis Graff. You can have influence in someone's life. God just wants to give you a point of contact. First, he wants to come and break in your life. He wants to change what you think about yourself. He wants to change what you say over yourself. Then he can change what you say over others. Love as your love. Why did Jesus say that? He wants you to love yourself. Love others as you love yourself. It's not love others and hate yourself. It's not being prideful. You were made in the image of God. Nothing else. No animals were made in the image of God. I know all you cat lovers and dog lovers. They were not made in the image of God. I'm sorry. There was one. Man and woman were made in the image of God. They're not. And he wants to give you dominion over those thoughts, those things that say you're limited, this and that. I love my mom. I love my dad. But those things that are generational curses, words that were spoken, you have to exit the Ferris wheel of my mind. You have to exit. You have the power. You're the one. The one sitting in your seat has authority to take the tickets. Yes, enter. Yes, enter. And some of us are just like this. You can say anything. You can do anything. You can trample over my heart. You can love me and kick me out. You can have any relationship. You can abuse me. You can do this. You can say that. We need to say, no. No more, God. What are you saying? God says, I have a plan for your life. It's a specific plan. Some of you, he's called to write songs, start churches, go, do money. Some of in politics. It's not just about this stage. This is not the stage of life. The stage of life is influence. And he wants to give some of you influence more than you think. But you need to change. The cycles would have been repeated from generations. Dad never had money. Mom never had money, but he's called you to start a business. How's that going to change? How's that going to be? You go to the Father, you get with him, you spend time, and let his words bless you, shape you, change you. See, what cycles do we repeat? We look nice, we smile, right? God bless you, God bless you. We say it's so general, blessing, but that's not the way God intended it. It's tangible, it's specific, it's real, and it's life-changing. It's real. When they used to bless and lay hands on the Old Testament, it was real. There was a real blessing. It was specifics. When you look at the blessings of Jacob over his children, it wasn't the same thing. I bless you, I bless you, I bless you. It was specific. And only God knows the true specifics over your life. Mom didn't know it. Dad didn't know it. When I got born again, God didn't ask my mom and dad if it was okay. He didn't ask them, have a plan for John. Here's going to war. So I felt like, going back to my story, you're like, John, man, you have ADD or whatever. No, I don't have ADD. I was at work one time, and I kept going back from office to office, and one of the girls goes, you just need a little pill to calm you down. I says, no. Right in front of my boss, the owner who's here, Clay, you know what I told her right in front of him? I says, no, you need to get that printer fixed because I have to go from office to office because it's not reading my computer. And she's like, oh, that's why I go from office to office. So keep your meds, keep your side effects. So get that printer fixed, and I won't be going back and forth. She's like, oh. But we have a funny relationship. So I go to Juarez. I knew one church, and I felt like God this, and I didn't have a plan. God goes. He said, Abram, get the place from where you're at. He spoke to one man, and it was one word. Get it from the place where you're at to the place I'll show you. Because, see, what we want to do is we want to know the plans of God for our life so we can say yes or no to him. And that's not the – see, you're not really saying yes and no to the plans of God. You're saying yes and no to him. See, we want to know the plans. God, what plans do you have for my life so I can say no to them or yes to them? And really says, get up from the place where you're at to the place I'll show you. See, when you start moving, then I'm going to show you because you want to know. Why? Because it's based on trust. It doesn't matter how many years you've been in a Christian, you still need to trust him. See, $50 was a lot back then, but now $10,000 is a lot. You still need to trust him. You never get to the place where you don't trust him. Why? Because he's trustworthy. And when you get to know God, when you really get to know him, then you can trust him. You know, people always quote that scripture, test me and try me. You know, in the tithes, to give 10%, test me and try me. You test something you don't know. And he was talking to people that really didn't know him. But he doesn't say test and try me to people that know him. He just says, love me, trust me, give. Because you don't have to test what you already know. You have to test this to see if it works. You don't have to test God when you get to a certain place. God, I just trust you. So, John, I want you to go to Wars. I want you to get these churches together. I want you to speak to the youth. So I went. So in the church that I knew, and I knew it wasn't just limited to one church, one youth came up to me in his teens and says, John, I knew him before. He wasn't a leader in the youth. He wasn't even the most spiritual kid. He wasn't like someone the church goes, John, this is, he just goes, I think I have someone I want you to meet. One introduction led me to this girl, Naomi, who introduced me to Pastor Joel, who was over this huge organization in Mexico, all over Mexico. Says, John, we'll give access to all our youth. So I went to the meeting, one, and God had Mexico City on my heart, and so I just met him. He was very stern when I met him, and then when I got up, he was all this, and I just, out of my mouth, with just one sentence, out of my mouth came one sentence. I feel like I'm supposed to go to Mexico City. I wasn't really talking to him, and he goes, I'll leave in 2 weeks. Come with me. And that one trip to Mexico City get me connection with one church, and there was one missionary chief with. How does it start? How did Reinhard Bonnke stand on that stage speaking to over millions of people live? It started with one man being lost on one trip asking one question. Is there anybody sick? He didn't say, is there any future person who's going to speak to 80 million people? Is there any? See, we think we know what God has for us. You do not know the plans that God has for you, Ben. They're higher than you think. They're more than you think. And he's not asking anybody, is it okay? He just needs your permission. See, devil did not ask that question to get an answer. He asked that question to get an entrance. It wasn't an answer. He knew the answer. Did God really say he's a deceiver? No one needs to tell him he's a deceiver. He knows he's a liar, but he did it to get entrance. Why? Because he had an ending point, separation. God too has an ending point, and he just needs a break in. Reinhard Bonnke's question to his dad, how did God break into our family? How? There's nothing, 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 nothing. And then bam, grandpa, bam, you. How did it happen? Grandpa just didn't come up. It took one person to go to grandpa, Luis Graf. Maybe you don't know his name, but the Reinhard Bonnke family knows who that is. And every time he was on the stage, there was Luis Graf with him. There was the Sunday school teacher. We don't know the end of the story. You will know in heaven, dot to dot to dot to dot. And here in your life, you are the one. It's you. It's not another. It's not another person. It's not another time. No one else has access to your life to say yes, no, maybe so. I can give you a word and say God has a plan for your life. You're called to the nations. But unless you believe it and receive it, you'll never go. It'll just be a word on a piece of paper. It'll be a word in your car. It'll be a word you repeat. Did God really say one sentence? Because he had an ending point. He already knew where he wanted to take him. Separate. God, too, has an ending point, and he wants to bring you close to himself, to hear his words, to hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. But you're the one with the yes, and you're the one with the no. The greatest obstacle to the will of God is not Satan, it's the will of man. It's your will. He gave animals instinct. He gave the ones he created in his image choice. There's a difference. You cannot love unless you choose to love. He didn't make robots. We choose to worship. We choose to come to church. We choose those things. And just like he broke in with Luis Graf, God wants to break in to your life with the Holy Spirit. He wants to have a break-in point. Some weeks passed. Jessica Garza, the lead of our women's ministry, taught one teaching on revival. It kick-started again what God has always promised. It was just one teaching. We've talked about it, pray, because God says it's season. And if you don't know what revival is, it's the outpouring of God. It's where old things become new. It's revival is so much easier to define than describe. So I'm not going to describe it. I'm just going to say when God, his glory comes, when his presence comes, it's very different than hearing nice songs and a nice sermon. You're impacted by the fire. When you're impacted by the fire, you change. The fire doesn't change. Fire changes what it burns. Fire's not changed. You're changed. That's not, the glory of God is not for him. It's for you. He has his presence already, but he wants to share it. Why? Because he is love. Not just loving, love. But God so loved the world that he gave. Not hated, loved. So here we have Gideon, scared, in his hiding, you know, just trying to survive. He was just trying to survive, just enough for me and my family. And so many Christians think like that. I just want to get enough to get through this breaking point, past this point. And God has so much more. He wanted Gideon to deliver Israel. And so he has deliverance for you. When deliverance is freedom, not just for you, but for others. See, you can be a Louis Graff. Maybe you won't stand on the stage. Maybe you won't be before millions of people. But he has something for you to influence others. It will affect people. It does not matter if he's called you to build orphanages. It's to affect children. It doesn't matter if he's called you to have a business to make money. It's to give to affect people. It's always, people are always attached. It's not about buildings or this or that. And so Gideon, God, through the story, God said, you have too many people. So through 300 people, God delivered them, wiped them out, and again brought Israel freedom. But then they made an ephod. And an ephod is something the priest wore with the jewels, and it lit up to give him direction. We don't have that no more. We have the Holy Spirit. Amen? And the Bible says Israel played a harlot to it. It was an idol. But before that idol, God told Gideon, I want you to rip down your father's idols. Before he gave him victory, he says, go rip down your father's idols. That's odd to me because he didn't ask his dad. Go ask your dad if it's okay. We just read the Bible. Like, that's really happened. Go rip down your father's idols. Go rip down the idol that the bow and the thing, the pole next to it. Rip it down. Gideon was scared, so he went at night. It's okay if you start. He went at night. I don't blame him. Because they worshipped him. They worshipped that idol. Go rip down your father's idol. Before I send you on this journey, I want to rip down that thing in the Ferris wheel that's encircling over your head, that thing you worship, that thing you're bowed down to, that thing that you give credit to. Because an idol, you bow down to something that's more powerful. You don't see, whatever you think is more powerful than you, you're going to bow down to it. So I want you to rip down what you think is more powerful, what's over your life. Before I send you, I need to rip. You look at Jeremiah, he says, I've called you to come, and I've called you to take out, and I've called you to rip out. Then to plant. It wasn't plant and rip. God wants to take the weeds out of your life. Every negative word that was spoken, every generational cycle. First, he says, go rip it down. And he didn't ask his dad, listen to me. God has a plan for your life, but it's not a vote. He's not asking your generations. He didn't ask your mom or dad. He's not asking the church, do you think that's a plan for your life? He, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit are in agreement, and they say yes and amen. So you're the final one. You cast the vote. You stand there. So he says, rip down the idols of your father. He didn't even ask his dad. See, nowadays we might think that's no big deal. Back then, that was huge. You did what dad said. You're Peter, a fisherman, because dad was a fisherman. And, you know, women did this and that and this. We're talking about the one. He went to one man because one nation was in bondage. And he told him to do one thing, rip down the idols. Then he sent him out. And so he did it at night. And there's more to the story. But he came to a mighty man of valor. He called him what he didn't think he was. So Gideon had to grab a hold of it, says mighty man of valor, and little on the steps on the way, God encouraged him. God will encourage you along the way. Amen. I just went in war as that one church. He encouraged me. Yes, John, this is a plan for my life. Mexico City to start a radio station. And I appreciate, like, John, are you on the radio yet? No, I'm trying to start a radio station in Mexico City. There is no Christian radio station, over 20 million people. We have four here in Houston. 20 million people, there's not one. And they're in their cars way more. So that it's just like little churches. That one radio station can reach more than any one church. So it's a mission field. So it takes time. So I know it's not just overnight. It's one thing and it's hard work. So I got that from my dad. John, you're going to work hard. But there's a solution. Then I got that from my mom. You can give, John. You can give when you don't have anything. Because when you give, when you just have a little, that's a lot to God. See, it's not the amount of the offering. It's the amount of the heart that gives it. And so you just say, I'm just a little, I'm just one, I'm just scared, I'm just Gideon, I'm just hiding out, it's just me. He says, go rip down the idols of your father. I'm going to come and destroy every family thing that has brought you to this place, Gideon, and I want you to rip it down. So he used his dad's bulls to do it. Then he sacrificed his dad's bulls. So you can use the good, because I think, and even in some families that you think, there's some good, and you bless the good. And you remove the bad, and that's what God wants to do. Yes, no, yes, no, yes, no. And so the wheel continues. It's a cycle. What can be repeated? And this is not about having children. This is about having influence. Now, you know, those that are called to have children will have children, yes. But some of you, just God wants to give you influence, like a song or a word or politics. Amen? How many? One. He just spoke. And the one is sitting in your chair. Just like Pastor Allen said a couple weeks ago. He said, the point of your total surrender in his Jesus Breakfast with Jesus series
The point of your total surrender is the moment of your turnaround. It's just one point. See, he's not asking you for this or this or this. He's asking you for the one thing, and the one thing is your heart. And he wants to break those things that have kept us from going higher and higher. Because in the Pharisee, when you want to go high, shh. And sometimes you feel him, sometimes you don't. That's not the point, but do you trust him? So Satan came in through one point, and so did God. God came in through Jesus. And he says, I came to destroy the works of the devil. By one man, sin came. By one man, it was eradicated. The first Adam who sinned and the second Adam, which they called Jesus, came. So what are you holding on to? What idols, what things are you worshiping? Now, we don't think about idols. We think about those generational things that are over us that you can never get over, that we just bow down to in our hearts. Not physically, but you're more powerful than me. I will never be able to. I will never be able to reach that height. I'll never be able to go that place. Amen? So Gideon just arrived. Gideon was scared. He was scared. So Gideon arrived just as a man was telling a friend his dream. I had a dream, he was saying. So Gideon was scared. God says, go down to the camp and listen. Go down to the camp and listen and hear, and I'm going to encourage you. So Gideon arrived. So you had the army all camped against Israel. And Gideon arrived just as a man was telling his friend his dream. I had a dream, he was saying. A round loaf of barley bread came tumbling into the Midian camp. It struck the tent with such force that the tent overturned and collapsed. His friend responded, this can be nothing other than the sword of Gideon, son of Joash the Israelite. God has given the Midianites and the whole camp into his hands. What the heck? These people didn't even hardly know Gideon. He said, oh, he's in a dream. That was God. God will encourage you along the way as you do it. You're not alone. What's your point, John? You're not alone. You have the Holy Spirit. So each step, each one thing he tells you to do, the Holy Spirit is with you. He is the helper. Jesus says, when I go, I'm going to send one alongside, just like me. He's just like me. I'm physically here. It's good that I go away. When Jesus died, the veil was ripped where the presence of God was in the Holy of Holies once a year. The veil was ripped, and now it's for us. So he's with us. So along the way, the young kid in Juarez was Hesed. Just one person. John, I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to give you Hesel, who's going to introduce you to Naomi, who's going to introduce you to Pastor Hoyle, who's going to introduce you to this organization, who's going to introduce. See, it's one thing. See, it's not about me going to Juarez or Reinhard Bunke. It's not about the great, just, oh, what's it? It's about your life and the one thing God wants to use to break into your life and the one idol he wants to tear down and the one curse, the one sentence over your life that you have put and repeated and repeated and repeated over your life. Divorce. Some families have a cycle of divorce. It just takes one couple to go, we're not going to divorce, we're going to stay through. It just takes one, because you're replanting the tree. You're regenerating the cycles of your life. It's just one. It's just one, amen? Vander, there goes the future champion of the world. His words came and shaped him. Vander goes, changed my life. No one ever said that before. He was just another boxer until then. He was just somebody else in the gym. I'm just a Christian that goes here. God just needs one person, one church, one revival, one city. See, God has marked this place for revival. His outflowing, signs, wonders, and miracles, things we can't even describe now because we haven't entered. We can kind of define it, revivals this, revivals that. No, when God's Spirit pours out, yes, we won't always be in this building, okay? It's not about having numbers, but it is about affecting people. That's why the more people, the more influence you have. That's why we want to grow. That's why we don't want to reach more people. That's why we want to send people out to the mission field. That's why. Why? It's because you're touching lives of people. You're going to places where 13-year-old girls think this is all women will ever be, and you're coming. See, in one conversation, there was a woman at the well. She suffered. She had five husbands, right? And then Jesus says, the man you're with isn't your own. So Jesus is at the well one day in the heat of the day, and no one was there except one woman because, you know, they don't get water in the heat of the day, and she had a lot of shame. And so she came there. And Jesus said, give me water to drink. She don't have a pail. Jesus said, I'm the living water. He started telling her about her life. You don't have a husband. That's true, but you've had five, and the one you're living with is not your own. In one conversation, she went from an outcast to an evangelist. She went back and says, come here, man. Could this be the Messiah? He's told me everything I know. One conversation with Jesus, and that's all we really need is one conversation with Jesus where he speaks over your life. You listen, you hear. It's one conversation. It wasn't an entire series. It wasn't a CD series. It wasn't a conference. It was one conversation. So, Lord, I thank you today. Everybody just close your eyes. I thank you for the one conversation. I want people to close their eyes so they can focus on Jesus. Lord, I thank you for the one conversation you're going to have with us, God. The one turning point, the one break in. Dad, how did God break into our family tree? How did he break in? How did he change everything that always was godless, didn't know God, didn't know him, didn't love him, didn't believe in signs, wonders, and miracles because they simply didn't know, Everybody was sick. Everybody had this, and it just took one. God, how did God break into? So, Lord, I thank you for breaking into our lives, God, not just next week, but today. I thank you for breaking in our lives for that one point, God. I don't know what person in here. Lord, I just thank you. We're opening up our hearts, God, and I thank you for doing that one thing only you can do, Jesus. Jesus comes in and does the one thing. See, Jesus changes everything. Jesus cambia todo. He comes in and he changes just sometimes just one thing. It was one conversation. She went from an outcast to an evangelist in one conversation. He didn't even lay hands on her. He just spoke to her. So I thank you, God, for speaking to us today, for starting cycles, stopping cycles, entrance, exit, in our mind, in our hearts, God. You must go. You must stay. So the words that have shaped you, God wants to bless you, meaning he wants to come with specific promises over your life. He wants to come and change the way you think about yourself, the cycles that have repeated in your life. Sometimes we plant and things get stolen and stolen. God, he wants to close that door and start new cycles and give you abundance and blessings, not just for yourself and your family, but for others. So Lord, I thank you today for starting the one thing, God. So many times we want the plan, or we want this, or we want the revival, and God just wants to start it with one woman's Bible study and says, I want to talk about revival today. It was one thing, one entrance. I want to break into your life. You have many problems, many issues, many stress. God, how am I going to get paid back for everything I lost? Just do the one thing. Forgive. Do the one thing. Let go. Do the one thing. I don't know what he's telling you the one thing today. I don't know what area he wants to start, but so many times it's one thing. It's just that certain area. The point of your total surrender is the moment of your turnaround. So, God, I thank you for turnaround in our lives today, God. I thank you for turnarounds, Lord. I thank you for every area that we have obstructed you, said no to. Did God really say? We've agreed with the deceiver, God. We believe every word you speak over our life, Jesus. We give you permission to keep speaking, God. We give you permission to keep speaking. We just don't have one words or two words. Lord, I thank you. The prophetic promises so many times are just little areas of our life. It's just pieces we know in part and we see in part. But it's not the whole thing. There's so much more. And I have many things to say to you, but you're not able to receive them. God, bring us to the place where we are able to receive what you have, God. Every single life-shaping word. In the name of Jesus, Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life, God. So I thank you for sending your words out over the congregation. Holy Spirit, I thank you for just awakening hearts to hear your words. I thank you for we just destroy the works of the enemy, God. We pull down every idol, every strong thing in our mind that says you can't, you won't, you shouldn't. That door is closed. One little key can open a big door, just one key, one key, just one key. It's not 10 keys. It's not even a key ring, but it's one key. Jesus said, I have the keys of life and death. Just one key opens that door, one thing. It was just one question, do you want to be born again? It was just one man. It was just one trip. Is there anybody sick? I don't need a crusade. I don't need a stage. I don't need a microphone. But is there one person that needs healing? Yes. The grandpa of Reinhard Bonnke, the man who's seen over 80 million people, said, yes, he was sick, just one. It's just one flower, Bianca, where the bee can start to pollinate. Just one. It's just one, and he takes it, and the fragrance goes. It's just one. Just one seed can bring one tree, can bring one piece of fruit. Just one. And that one fruit has many more seeds, and those seeds get sown, and those trees get grown. Just one. How many trees are in a seed? Unlimited. If you keep planting, keep watering. None if you just let it out and don't put it in the soil and let it dry out. So who can answer that question? The one who is sitting in your seat. How many trees are in that one seed? It's you. You're the one. You're the one. Louis Graff isn't here. Reinhard Bonnke is mostly retired. He's not doing what he used to do. And Amy Simple McPherson, she's not here. Apostle Paul and all these people as we names, but you're here. You're the one. There's still one church in Sugar Land, the epicenter. Yes, there's many more, but there's one that I know of that I'm here. God's planted you here, and he wants to plant you in a place like a seed.